You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 019 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show here on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com. I'm Daniel Pinto Gunderson. You can find me on Twitter at PintoKFGO. My co-host, my partner in crime, Brad the White Shadow Jones. You can find him on Twitter at
the Bison Guy.
We're on Facebook. You can email us pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. You can send comments on our podcast show on our podcast page on KFGO.com. Just go to the top of the KFGO.com page. There's a drop-down bar with media. Click on the podcast button, and then all the way at the bottom, you'll find the Pinto and White Shadow Show, this being the 019 podcast. We are well into November, Brad, and the beards are flowing. They are flowing like nobody's business. Yours is a lot better than mine. I haven't shaved since October 31st.
I shaved on November 2nd. So this is just as 2 weeks and a day.
So I don't know if it's so. Does that mean it's officially No Shave November? You did shave in November.
I did, which we did a little bit of No Shave November with a lot of the guys in the office. And when I first presented the idea, there was a little bit of pushback. So I didn't know that everyone was going to be in on it. So I shaved before a visit day.
Uh-huh.
And then they were in on it. So
all of a sudden, here we are.
Yeah, so here we are. So, no, the beard, though, I enjoy my beard because as the I'm a very aptly named White Shadow.
Yes.
Very pasty, hair about as blonde as you can get.
And a red beard.
And the beard grows in red.
Yeah, you are an anomaly wrapped in an enigma.
Something like that.
You are so unique to this world, and I'm glad that you're here on the podcast. The beards are going.
They are.
I've got this like spotty thing that looks like maybe I'm still in junior high trying to figure out what this is on
my
face.
Well, I walked in and I thought, I had a towel and I thought I had to wipe something off.
I had to hit you off. I was like, what are you doing?
No, there's a little supper left over there.
Yeah, this is reality right here. This is what I try. Well, this is what I try to grow. Hey, at least I can tan, all right?
Before you're dropping the tan bomb on it there.
Yes, before you come at me because I can't grow a beard because I'm a small child.
Yeah.
I can at least go out in the sun without dying, okay?
That's true, but you know, when you go out and you shoot video for KFGO.com or anything like that, you need to find something to white balance. I just lift up the old shirt and I'm ready to go.
I see what you say there. Yeah. I see what you're saying there. So
many uses.
I've actually first time participated in No Shave November.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually didn't really. The girlfriend likes the beard. I always shaved because I didn't like the itch and the scratch, and I thought I looked hoboish really in it. But if I let it grow in.
Well, if you could grow a man's beard, then it wouldn't be quite so hobo-ish.
Boy, I feel like we need to get away from this topic because I'm just getting slammed right now. We're not even 2 minutes in and already. Already, I feel devastated. I feel like I should walk away from this.
I've taken a little bit of your manhood already.
A little bit. And the fact that the beard isn't bringing any manhood back to me.
No, it's not.
Besides the point, No Shave November continues and goes on, and we'll see where I'm at and where Brad's at come November 30th. We do know, however, where the NDSU Bison football team is at, and that's where we're going to start the podcast at.
Local.
And the NDSU football team with a 35-17 victory over Youngstown State on Saturday. Were you, Brad, surprised by how easy this victory seemed to come?
You know, and full disclosure, I did not see any of the first half. We had a visit day on campus, so I was gone for the entire first half. I got home literally about a minute and a half before the second half kicked off. Grant Olson, I said last week, I said at the beginning of the season that Grant Olson was the person that the Bison could least afford to lose of anybody.
Right.
And even losing him, I thought they'd be okay, but that he was the most important member. I mean, did you miss him in that particular game? I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to miss, and I'm sure they definitely noticed not having their leader there.
Right.
But from a fan watching on TV, not even having the benefit of, you know, having the being able to see the full 22 guys from a press box or from the stands, whatever, I don't know that I really noticed him not being there in the second half of that game.
Yeah, in the second half, you did. In the first half, the first drive for Youngstown State ended up being a 10-play, 80-yard drive.
Okay.
You can tell there was some, maybe not confusion, but there were a couple missed tackles, and maybe it was a little bit of, boy, this is the first time we're playing without Grant.
Okay.
And so it was getting used to that fact. But then after that, the second half was domination. I put together my 3 points. I called the Dakota Bowl championships this weekend. Congratulations to Cavalier, Hazen, Fargo South, and let's see if I can remember the third, the AA champion, St. Mary's over Wapton. Congratulations to those teams. And so I didn't get a chance to put up my usual video, Pinto's preview on KFGO.com, so I typed one out. And one of the points I made was ball control. More so than ever, NDSU needed to hang on to the ball. They did exactly that. 34 minutes, 31 seconds of time of possession, 11 minutes and 31 seconds in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean,
unbelievable job by this team yet again in the fourth quarter, holding yet another team scoreless in the fourth quarter. Again, they didn't miss him so much in the second half because the defense wasn't out there that much.
That's
21-7 in the second half. They really dominated it. The running game got going. Sam Ojuri and John Crockett, I think they're going to get to my ongoing wager. I think they're both
going to... I was wondering when you were going to bring that up.
They're going to both eclipse 1,000 yards rushing.
Probably right. I'm probably going to lose that one.
That one as well. I know Brock Jensen already has more touchdowns.
Yep.
Vra, reception-wise, will get close to 55.
Vra and Smith, I think it's 60, I think, is where we said it.
Was it 60?
I'm pretty sure.
I was looking over it the other way. Getting back to the real point here is that this team just put together some unbelievable drives.
And Jensen, 4 touchdowns, plus 1 on the ground. I mean, they're rolling. They just are. And
Next guy up, essentially, is what they said. But it comes down, and I said it last week, I'll say it again, it comes down to the defensive line. They were very good, put a lot of pressure. I mean, they knocked out 2 quarterbacks. One came in with a bum ankle in Hess. But then they knocked out the backup quarterback, whoever that was. I can't even remember. The guy was in for like 2 seconds. And then he hurt his wrist. Let's see here. It was Dante Nania. And then they brought in Tanner Gary. And again, it was just, they were so physical up front. Not only offensive line, but defensive line. You looked at the defensive line for Youngstown State, and you're going, boy, those guys just want to give up.
Yeah.
So you think about it, but why even doubt this team at this point? Because, they lost Grant Olson. Marcus Williams didn't even play.
Yeah, and we made another wager on that, or another wager on this game, and you covered that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you covered the
much more
the
than I thought they would.
Spread.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a win for me, but I thought it was going to be a 10-point game. I thought it was going to be a lot closer. Completely shut them down, rushing wise. They had quite a few yards rushing, 134 yards, but no touchdowns rushing.
Yeah.
You know, again, this defense just unbelievable job. It can't be really enough said about this team. The turnovers were a little... I think Christian Dudzik, I want to say, had that fumble, the muff punt.
Yeah.
In that one, which seemed a little... He keeps doing that. That's what, is like second or third of the season, I want to say, that he's muffed.
Well, one of them was on a not very bright play.
Right.
So, I mean, it happens. I mean,
it does.
Hopefully you get it out of the system. And
yeah, it doesn't happen. Jensen threw a really bad interception, I thought. He tried to force it in when he was having pressure, tried to force it into Ryan Smith. Probably should have just thrown that one away. They were close to the red zone, about to score near the end of halftime, close to the halftime. But 17-22, I mean, 4 touchdowns. The one interception, you'll take it if he comes out with those stats all day. So, again, this team, they came out, looked a little shaky right away defensively. But then after that, it came down to stopping the run. It came down to forcing pressure on young quarterbacks, which was a benefit to them. And now Youngstown State's going to turn around and say, well, you won 35-17, but Hess didn't play.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that, but you look at the game, it wouldn't have mattered. Youngstown State never got the ball in the second half. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is if he never has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, this team's going to be tough. I mean, they are. They're the 2-time defending national champions for a reason. They're going to have I don't think this is going to be much of a discussion, but is there anything that you can see happening next weekend that would not have the road to Frisco going through Fargo?
Honestly, no.
I mean,
at this point, you beat Kansas State, you win, which is according to the GPI, the best conference in the FCS, and that's what they use to determine who's going to get in and who's going to get out of the playoffs, which we can bring up coming up later in this podcast. It might be 2. I think it's going to be 2. I don't think that's actually a question. I think that it's going to only be 2 teams from the Missouri Valley. But the best conference GPI-wise, they beat Kansas State on the road. They've handled every ranked team so far this season. Now something like 17-0. I did the math the other day. 17-0, Brad, against ranked opponents in the last 2.5 years. Yeah. 17-0.
Yeah.
That includes playoffs and championship. This team is, it's going to go Frisco. Road to Frisco goes through Fargo yet again.
I don't think there's anything that can happen against USD. I think they could rest their starters. They could get their doors blown off against USD, and it wouldn't matter. I think they're one of the top two seeds.
We'll talk about starters at USD in a little bit. Okay. The next question I have after this game, has your confidence level, which I know wavered for both of us after Grant Olsen went down, has it gone back up to where it was after this victory?
No.
You're still a little wary.
I mean, my confidence didn't go down a lot. I mean, it went down a little bit, but they're just, again, they're so deep and they've got so many good players at not just linebackers, with being able to throw Esley in there, but at the other positions that can make up for it, that my confidence didn't waver a lot to begin with. And now, just because of this win, I'm not going to say it's back to the same level it was when Grant there. It's still down a little bit less without Grant. But again, it's still very high.
Yeah, I think mine jumped a little bit, especially without Marcus Williams. We notice, at least I notice, C.J. Smith has flown under the radar for a majority of this season because he isn't Marcus Williams. And Marcus has been the vocal point of, he's probably the most likely to go to the NFL. He's the most talented. He has the most weapons. He can do so much for this team. And he's had a less than stellar season. He's had some big plays in big games, but he hasn't had the kind of season where he's coming up with 7 interceptions and he's shutting down wideouts. But C.J. Smith, from what I saw against Youngstown State, was just a nuisance to those receivers. He's a physical guy.
Yeah.
And C.J. Smith has really stepped up. I think he embraced the opportunity to be the number one cornerback. My confidence in him and this team went up a little bit. And again, it came down to they got the jitters out of the way in that first go-around. This is a senior-laden team. They said, okay, cool, Grant's not here. He's not going to come riding in on a white horse.
Yep.
He's not going to be playing for us. All right, good enough. We know how we can handle this.
Grant Olsen's not coming through that door. Joe Mays is not coming through that door.
No, exactly. So they're going to be fine. My confidence went up a little bit. And again, it wasn't I said, and we both said they're going to make the national championship, but it went up a little bit even without Grant Olsen.
Okay.
So, yeah,
okay.
I'd have to say it did. Let's talk Missouri Valley football. Here are the scores from around the conference. SDSU with a 27-12 win over USD. UNI 17-10 over Missouri State, WIU, Western Illinois over Indiana State 21-14, and then Southern Illinois 24-17 over Illinois State, SIU with that win. The question now becomes next week, big game for Youngstown State. Now, as we look at the standings.
Big game for Youngstown State.
And South Dakota State.
I was going to say.
Well, it's both.
I disagree.
You disagree?
Yes.
I think it's both. Winner of this goes to the playoffs, in my mind.
In my mind, Youngstown's already there.
By virtue of what?
By virtue of eight wins.
But over what teams? You got to beat a good team.
If you've got 8 wins in the toughest conference, again, as you said, the toughest conference in the country, if you've got 8 wins, you're going. I think this is a winner go home for SDSU. I think Youngstown's there.
See, I think Youngstown State needs to win to get in. I think they need this one more victory because look at the teams that they've beaten. Southern Illinois was a 1-point win. Indiana State, Illinois State, Western Illinois, USD.
To really be able to have this conversation, we'd have to go do a lot of research. And okay, where are the other? Where are the other 7-4 teams? And who have they beaten? Have any of them beaten anybody of significance? Because my guess is probably not.
Right.
And I think the Missouri Valley is going to get the nod. I think the fact that SDSU or that Youngstown's been a solid program for a while. I think
they have to win to get in, which I agree with that part.
I think SDSU needs to win to get in.
I agree.
I think Youngstown's in. I really do. I don't think Youngstown's going to go into that game thinking that, but I believe that win or lose, they are. I believe Youngstown's in. I believe if SDSU loses, they're out. If they win, they're in.
Okay. I honestly think that.
You think it's a winner?
Winner out for either team. Because I do not think that if you're Youngstown State, you can believe you're a playoff-worthy team if you lose 3 straight games to opponents that the premier opponents in the league, Northern Iowa, North Dakota State, South Dakota State University. So
and that's the argument is, they've beat everybody that they're supposed to beat. They don't really have bad losses.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, their losses are
Michigan State, UNI, and then NDSU.
I mean,
and the UNI game, I think they would go, yeah, that was a bad loss.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have won that game. They were up in that one.
Yeah.
And according to...
But just name recognition of team. Oh, you lost to UNI. Okay. You know, you lost to NDSU. Okay.
Right.
You know, you lost at, or excuse me, at home against SDSU. Okay, they're a playoff team from last year and a fringe one this year. I mean... There's not a bad loss in there. They haven't beaten anybody that they weren't supposed to beat, but they've pretty much held to form.
Looking at the Sports Network, which is usually pretty accurate with what they predict when it comes to the playoff time, they have South Dakota State in at this point. Youngstown State, no.
And they
have
really?
Yeah, they have South Dakota State at Montana, according to this.
And the winner of that game coming to Fargo?
No, the winner of that game would go to... McNeese State.
That surprises me.
NDSU would have the winner of Montana State, Tennessee State
I think one of the Montana teams, I think, is going to be our second round game.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I firmly believe that that's what's going to end up happening.
I think you're right. Illinois State holds firm at 2 in this thing. Eastern Washington 3, Maine at 4.
Eastern Illinois, you mean, not Illinois State at 2.
Eastern Illinois at 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Eastern Washington at 3.
Yep.
Maine at 4. Here would be the teams that would be in North Dakota State's bracket. Northern Arizona out of the Big Sky. Southeast Louisiana. I'm not sure where they're out of. And Maine out of the CAA.
Not concerned by any of those.
Right. And based off of where SE Louisiana is located, I would assume the Southland Conference.
I would assume they're located
in Southeast
Louisiana.
And Sam Houston State, by the way, they're on the fringe as well because they just lost to SE Louisiana. They right now would be at the bottom of the bracket at home game against Lehigh. But even so, going back to what we said, all right, let's make a wager on it because after this weekend, playoffs are set.
Yep.
So let's put it this way. Let's see how we can figure this out. South Dakota State wins. They're in. We agree with that.
Yes.
Youngstown State loses.
I still say they're in.
I say they're out.
So, okay. So if that's the way the game
Youngstown
goes.
Youngstown State loses, Youngstown State... You think they're in, I think they're out.
Okay.
That's a good wager.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay.
Lock it in.
Locked in. And so we'll see how that goes. Also next week, North Dakota State home game against the University of South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this game is kind of tricky. USD is playing better. That loss to South Dakota State was not how the year has been going for them.
Yeah.
They've played well. They've gotten some good wins with this team. Played Montana very tough. Should have won that game at home.
Yep.
They come in to the Fargo Dome next weekend. It's going to be senior day for NDSU. They're going to honor like a billion seniors on this team. But the one thing that has avoided NDSU in the last 2.5 years is a perfect regular season and a perfect conference season. However, you have a team that has lost Grant Olson for the season. You got a team that's dealing with Travis Beck shoulder issues. I know Cole Jurek is not 100%. You know, Brian Shepard isn't 100%. Your backup cornerback, Brendan Pierre, isn't 100%. Marcus Williams isn't 100%. May I go on?
Ryan Smith.
Yeah, exactly. How long do the starters play in this game? Everything's wrapped up. I mean, I don't think there's a question between you and I that NDSU is the number one seed. And even if they lose this game, they drop to number two. They're not going to go further than two.
I agree.
So the road to Frisco goes through the Fargo Dome. How long do these starters play?
What are you asking? How long do I think they will play?
Yes,
how long do I think they should play? Those are two very different questions.
Those are two very different questions. Answer them both then, because I think there could be two different answers here.
I think that they are going to play the whole game. I don't think they're taking the foot off the gas at all. I don't think they're resting up. I think at the very least they know they have a bye wrapped up. At the very least, they know that, okay, we're not playing next weekend.
Right.
We've got an extra week in there. We're only the third game removed from our previous bye week. I don't think there's resting that takes place. I really don't.
How long should they play?
It depends on how the game goes.
Don't give me the how did the game goes. You should play. Should. I don't care about the game. They should.
I think you go after it.
You think they should play all four quarters?
Unless, if they're up 3 touchdowns in the fourth, you pull them. And I know his number is typically 35.
Right.
Is typically his number. If you're up 21 to start the fourth quarter, especially the guys that are already banged up, get them out of there and get Jensen out of there.
Here's how I view it going down.
Okay.
Because you have to feel out how your team is going into this game. They're not going to have a letdown and go, okay, it's wrapped up, boys. Let's look about the playoffs. Because that was one of the things that you heard a lot in the preseason was undefeated season.
Yeah.
You heard it. Because these players just haven't done it as seniors. They've won conference titles. They've won national championships. They've won on the road in FBS programs. You know, undefeated season, especially at home, hasn't happened. To me, they should play a half. I think you're right, Brad. They'll play most of the game.
So if it is it's 17-14 NDSU at halftime.
Okay.
You yank them?
Yes.
Okay.
Because what do you have to gain by winning this game? What are you gaining?
My guess is that Coach Bull thinks he's done enough to earn one of the top two seeds.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's... I think there's that small little voice of says, well, but maybe if this team does this and this team does this and this team does this, maybe I could see if they're whatever wanted
right.
to look at us the wrong way that they could drop us below. I think he goes and he treats this like any other game. I really do.
I see your point. Looking at the GPI again, it's the Gridiron Power Index, and this is what they use, the committee, when they put teams in at large bids and when they place them as well, 1 through 8 seeds. They look at this GPI. Right now, NDSU is a full point ahead of Eastern Illinois. They're the only undefeated team. I think they probably have the second or biggest win for an FCS program over an FBS program this year. Eastern Washington's in there. But even if they lose, full point ahead of Eastern Illinois, Eastern Washington's at 3.57. They're a full 2.5 points ahead. I don't think a loss to USD at home drops them so far back they fall behind Eastern Washington.
I agree with you completely.
Right.
I'm playing armchair psychologist into the mind of a football coach.
Okay.
And I don't think a football coach sees,
no,
well, I'm going to look at the Gridiron Power Index and let me see what I think the chances of my team are. I don't think that's quite how,
no,
quite how Coach Bull operates.
But you know what he does think is that I need a healthy team for the playoffs.
Yep.
I don't need Brock Jensen going in with a bum ankle, and I don't need Zach Vra going in with a bad knee, and I don't need these guys being banged up. So
I understand. And I also, you know, there's also the, I know I'm already getting a week off. Do I really
yes.
want my guys to have two full weeks off? I think they can handle it.
I think they can too.
But I know they can handle 1 week off.
Right. I see.
We haven't had 2 weeks off since the preseason.
I see that point, but again, it's a senior team. And here's the other thing that goes into it. There's going to be a lot of seniors that play. If this game gets to the point that I think you and I believe it will, because I don't think NDSU, I mean, USD has played well, but USD is not. Here's NDSU, USD. This doesn't work for radio, what I'm doing right now.
No, it really doesn't.
But USD is not on the same level as NDSU.
No.
And so the way I think you and I see it playing out, we see it playing out at 35-7 by the third quarter, I think is how I feel it going. And then you're going to see a lot of seniors come in that haven't seen a lot of playing time this season. So I think they should only play a half. I think they should only play a half. They will play most of the game.
They'll play it just like any other
yep.
game. Yep.
Unfortunately, but that's kind of how it goes. So we'll move on from football. Well, let's throw out a prediction. How do you think the score is going to go? Just for the heck of it.
Well, here's the thing. When we predicted the Illinois State game, my prediction was pain, and then every single Bison player on the roster gets hurt.
Right.
So I'm not going to predict pain again because that just I don't like where that went the last time. I think USD is going to put up some points. I think they're going to put up at least 14, 17 points.
Okay.
Which against this team is something.
It's significant, yes.
But Jensen's dialed in, man. And this offensive line is just nasty.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
So I've got a well, I mean, what would the over under half, what would the line have to be for you to take USD? If I set the line at USD plus 20, would you take USD?
So USD would have to be within 20 points of NDSU.
Yep.
Boy, I don't know. That's a good question.
If it's plus 24.
Oh, then I think USD would cover that.
Okay.
But so, now you're just searching.
But that's what I'm looking for. Okay. So your line of, okay, it's somewhere between 20 and 24 before you'd say,
yeah,
maybe I might take the points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's somewhere in that range. I think NDSU puts up 38. I think it's a 38-17 game, something similar to last week.
Yeah.
I think we get to see a lot of Derek Lang in this game. I think that guy like John Crock and Sam Ojuri, they'll get their carries, but they won't get as much as, say, a guy like Derek Lang, who's a senior. We're going to see just a ton of seniors. I can't think of them all off the top of my head.
There's 20 plus.
But it's just going to be one of those games. You're going to see a lot of guys that you go, oh, man, I didn't realize he was with the team playing some significant snaps, because at this point, this is where you want to be. This is the luxury you want to have as a head coach. Going into the final game of the season, go, man, we have the number one seed. We just won the conference title. I have all these seniors that have battled in practice and been to the weight room and have done the grades. I can actually let them have their moment. Yep. You know? So that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's an enjoyable part. And that's enjoyable for the guys of college football, that they get, hey, I put in my 4 or 5 years. Sure, I was a special teams guy, but hey, today I get to, you know, and then I get to be on the ride for the national championship too. So that'll be what Saturday's about. Again, 38-17 on. I think NDSU just rolls them. Just, again, the emotion of it, Dan, it's going to be a bloodbath. Looking at moving on to men's basketball.
Yeah.
NDSU lost their first game of the season and only their second game played of the year to the University or St. Mary's University. I don't think it's University from it. Doesn't matter. I'm jabbering. What did you take from this game? It was a late game. I didn't stay up for it. I fell asleep. But it was a very late game. On the West Coast, St. Mary's is a good mid-major team. They have been for the last few years. What'd you take from it?
I think it's probably a little eye-opening for the guys. Of okay, we still got a little work to do here. You know, we go into another mid-major team and heap this praise, and yeah, you know, this game wasn't really ever that close.
No,
and
I mean it was close score-wise, but I'm gonna read you some stats here. NDSU, 9 assists. That's not how they play offense. They gave up 16 assists. 5 turnovers, which is nice. But here's the most glaring stat. 40 rebounds for St. Mary's to NDSU's 22.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
You can't do that. Marshall Bjorklund had a huge game point-wise, 23 points, but he only had 4 boards. They couldn't get anything going. Not only they couldn't get rebounds, they couldn't get anything off the bench. You look at the points off the bench, 6 points off the bench. From Mike Felton, Chris Kading.
Okay, yeah.
You know, this team got beat, and they got beat pretty badly by this St. Mary's team. Only shots. The 3-point line was not friendly. 1 of 13 from 3.
What was Felt?
In this game, Felt was 1 of 6 overall. He didn't hit a 3 at all in this game. Again, he's a super streaky guy.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You saw what he did against Viterbo, but again, that's NAIA stuff.
Yeah.
We're not worried about that.
I mean,
but what did you take?
I think it's an early season wake up, and it's something that the coaches say, yeah, you know what? Taylor Braun, you've had your picture on ESPN.com between guys from Kentucky and I don't remember what the other school was.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, we were top 10 mid-major team by all these different things. We're everybody's darling.
Right.
Guess what, boys? That doesn't mean squat. Right now.
Right.
You know, we've got some work to do. There's some things that we need to work on, and now let's get to the gym and get after it.
I think that the bench players are going to come in and realize that their role is significant. When you look at the bench points, NDSU, in fact, in the paint, outscored St. Mary's by 12, 42 to 30. So there wasn't this fact that they were going to push around down low. There's probably some hustle factor with that. When you get out-rebounded by 18, you're not getting to the loose balls.
Kading and Auberg need to rebound.
Yes.
The Bison need virtually no scoring from them. I mean, a little bit would be nice.
Well,
a little bit would be nice, but you're not looking to Kading or Auberg to give you big points in the post.
No, and they only took one shot apiece, coming from Kading.
And I mean, you know, so they're just not going to do it. That's not the type of players they are, and that's fine. You know, that's fine.
We're okay with that.
But you got to give us some boards. You have to. You're the biggest guys on the team. When you get in there, you need to push some people around. You need to grab boards.
This is the most glaring thing that you're going to see with NDSU is that their bench scoring is going to be hit or miss. It's going to be hit or miss. And it does depend on Felt. You look at the bench, they're outscored 26-6 from the bench. So Felt's got to come in. That's a lot of pressure on a guy. Streaky shooter again, but he's got to come in and say, I got to hit three threes.
It's a lot of pressure on Felt, and it's a lot of pressure on the starters knowing that, man, I you know, I can't. Taylor Braun's got to be the number one option basically all day, every day. He can't have a few possessions where he's not. I mean, it's just.
To flip that around a little bit, they were actually in this game coming into the final media timeout. I think they were down 5.
Okay.
At some point, it was like 63-58. Yeah. Free throws and so on and so forth kind of spread everything out. But their defense, again, keeps them in games.
Yes.
And when these games happen, you're still going to see, boy, there's 3 minutes left to go in the second half. They're down 5. They haven't done anything all day. This defense is that good.
Yeah. So they'll have their stretch coming up, their Ohio State stretch. And the do you think they get one of those wins?
No.
You don't think they're going to get one this
year? I don't think I thought they were. When I saw the schedule, I didn't think they were going to get one either.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that mindset has changed. I think the game that they have to get is the Monday game against Southern Mississippi.
Yeah.
I think that's one at home. You're right. They have to look at that and go, okay, we just got pretty much beat soundly by a team that we want to be on the same level as at some point. St. Mary's followed the Gonzaga script. They're there. NDSU would like to get there as a mid-major. Southern Mississippi comes in a very solid mid-major. You're at home. You got to win this game, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. It's going to be a Monday thing. I will try to be there. I don't know if you're going to be there.
7 o'clock tip, I assume. Yeah, I'm going to do my best to get there. I have class and meetings Monday night, so I'm busy.
Can't you skip class? Didn't you skip class all through regular college anyways? And that's what I call undergrad.
Is regular college?
Regular college.
Okay, yeah, that's probably, well, never mind. I was going to be really mean. I'm going to let you slide on this
Thank
one.
Thank you. My beard appreciates it.
That's right. I didn't cut a lot of. I cut certain classes. I didn't do a ton of class cutting when I was in college. I was a good kid.
I cut some classes. Basically, most of my math classes I cut a lot of.
I never missed math. I was the one, maybe two, maybe one other communication major that actually enjoyed math.
I took Introduction to Algebra, I think, is what I had to, what I got placed in. I'm taking senior math in high school. I get placed in Intro to Algebra. They're teaching us basic math skills like addition and subtraction.
Yeah.
First day.
And you were probably learning things.
Yeah, the whole 2+2 bit was a little new to me.
Yeah.
Foreign. But no, then math became, I got my math credit because I took a computer class.
The visual basic, huh?
Yeah. Thank God for college. I love how you could just sneak your way around
My
it.
Favorite was I placed into calculus and took like finite mathematics.
Isn't that like 104 or something?
Yes, it sure is. Because I didn't, why would you take calculus if you're going to be a communication major? Yeah, we're off the rails here.
Yeah, exactly. So again, Monday night, Southern Mississippi. I think Brad and I are in agreement that NDSU needs to win that. Let's touch. Not agreement, but I think they. No, yeah, I think they need to win it.
For what?
Didn't we say they need to win it?
Not we. That's why I said hold up here. Because they need to win it for what purpose? To what end?
Have some confidence after that St. Mary's game.
Whatever. Have some confidence?
Yes.
You just said they were within 5 points.
Yeah, defensively. I'm talking offensively. They're horrible. And rebounding-wise.
They don't need this game for anything.
Where are their wins going to come from in the non-conference then?
Who cares? What difference does that make?
I would like to see some victories in the non-conference.
Are you
saying that they could just go 0-18 in the non-conference and you're okay with that?
Come on.
Well, you just said it. Who cares about the non-conference?
But if they go 9-9 or they go 10-8 or whatever the number is, however many non-conference games that they have,
right?
What is the difference? It all that matters is winning the conference.
I think it would be nice for them.
Oh, it would be nice. Sure, I think they need to win it. But for what? Need to win it for what? So they can pat themselves on the back in November?
So they can have their first real Division I win of the season.
This is the equivalent of Minnesota playing Miami in the NBA at this time of year. Who cares?
I think they need. I would like him to see get good quality win over an opponent that's very strong. First Division I win of the season. But, so you don't go on the road for the next two games, which Sunday's in Grand Forks.
Don't
against
be
some
that
solid
guy.
Teams. I'm going to be that guy.
Don't be that guy that throws out the word need.
Oh, the need and want of the season.
You want to have this win. You want to have this win to maybe make the difference of a seed line or something come March. Do you want that? Yeah, that would be nice. Do you need it? No, not at all.
I disagree.
But you have no reason. You're providing me with no evidence other than, well, they need it because it would be really nice to have a victory over an opponent.
Later in the season, if NDSU, say, goes 24-7 but doesn't win the Summit League, they can look back as a committee, and I don't know if they're going to go 24-7. That's an arbitrary number.
Okay,
I don't even know,
but let's use that. Okay, that's
but
fine.
But then you look at the RPI and you go, okay, they had a win over a good Southern Mississippi team at home. Then they might get an at-large bid.
Oh, come on. You're not going to try to tell me that the Summit League is going to get an at-large bid. You are not going to try. You can't even keep a straight face over there.
Come on, again.
There is no way.
No, you're right. There is no way.
Thank
but
you.
I'm saying in terms of RPI and trying to make yourself look better.
For what?
Yes, that would be a way to beat Southern Mississippi.
Okay, but for what? Again, your biggest thing is maybe a difference of a 13 versus a 14 or a 14 versus a 15. Big whoop.
I'm saying they need it.
For what, though? You can't just say they need it, then smile, and then want to move on, because that's an idiotic statement.
They need it for confidence. And
they don't need it for confidence. It's November.
I say they need it for confidence.
My goodness. We better move on. We just better move on.
They need it for confidence.
That's the stupidest thing. I wish. Can we get Saul on the phone to let you say that to him and see what he says?
I still think I
can we, and the post game press.
My God, are you still talking?
The press conference on Monday. I want you to ask him that question and see what he says.
He'd look at me dumb.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
Again, confidence. Find it, boys. Let's go. All right, the women's basketball team had kind of an interesting week. Played Maine tough, but they got blown out by a ranked Harvard team on Saturday. Think this is going to be the script that this team follows throughout the season. They're just not going to. They had an opportunity to beat Maine. They were up at halftime, couldn't close it in. Young team on the road. I can give them that. Get blown out by Harvard again. Script that they're going to follow throughout the season. You're going to see a lot of this, those kind of games fall away late.
I haven't seen them play yet, so I really want to try hard to reserve judgment. But man, it's really easy to fill that blank in. It really, really is. I mean, there's a lot of ingredients there that would make that a very plausible scenario throughout the year.
Right. I mean, you see it a lot with young teams. You saw it a lot with, to me, winning on the road in college basketball is probably one of the toughest things to do in sports. It just, you don't see it that often, especially at the mid-major level. I get that if you're a high-ranking team, you know, you're going to go on the road and win. But at the mid-major level, it seems that you almost have a losing record no matter who you are on the road.
I'd be curious to see what the stats are on
it. It is one of the toughest things to do. And you saw it against Maine. They're up at halftime. They lose 64-59. Even the NDSU men's team, when they were good in 08 and 09, lost some ones on the road. You're going, how do you lose that?
Yeah, that's true. They definitely did.
They lost one at home to Southern Utah, and you're going, how do you lose a Southern Utah? But again, it's tough to do.
That's an interesting point. I'd be interested to kind of go back and look and see what the home versus road winning percentages were for teams over the course. You know, maybe if there was a difference between mid-major versus the BCS conferences. I mean, that's going to take more math than we're willing to do,
time than I'm willing to put into it.
Yeah.
Of course, I might now that I think about
it. Well, I mean, but I mean, we're not going to do it now.
No.
Yeah.
No, but on my, you know, time off.
Yeah.
It's something to look at.
It's an interesting point. I'd be curious to see if the data backs that up.
And I feel that this women's team, because they are so young, are going to have these games where you go, oh boy, they look really good. It's going to be night and day halves. It's going to be night and day games. You can, when it comes to ranked teams, I'll give them a pass because NDSU is probably ranked 300th out of 300 and so many women's basketball teams in the country or within that range. They're not great. You play a ranked team, you lose by 30. It's what's going to happen, especially when you're on the road. But you're going to see those night and day type of halves and night and day type of games where you go, oh boy, they looked really good in the first half, and then all of a sudden they come out and lay an egg in the second. It's youth. It's how it is.
Yep.
I feel that that's going to be the script
like
that
I
they
said,
follow.
I want to reserve a little bit of judgment until
I
see
it,
but it's really, I mean, that's very, very plausible. I could really see that.
They have Northern Iowa at home on Wednesday, 7 o'clock tip-off. I might sneak up to the BSA just to watch it, because I'm curious.
We maybe should.
We probably should, because I kind of
want to
see.
Do you want to go on a mandate up to the—
Should we go to a mandate Wednesday?
I think we should have a mandate.
Probably should go mandate Wednesday. Yeah. I want to see Brooke Lamar.
Yeah.
I want to see, because she sounds like the real deal. Looking so far this year, averaging 14.7 points a game. Marina Whittle.
Yep.
Hey, it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't screw up something pronunciation-wise.
This is true.
12.7 points per game. Those two seem pretty legit. So I'd like to see those two play. But again, we'll reserve judgment Wednesday, Northern Iowa. So we'll move on from that, and we'll go into
regional.
Actually, before we do that, NDSU University of North Dakota men's basketball game. I just saw that, actually. Those two play Sunday. You're not going to be available. You're going to be... Because I was saying it's a late... I can't... Let me see what time it starts. I feel like it's an early start, like a 5 o'clock start. It is a 5 o'clock start. It's up in Grand Forks. It's only an hour drive. It's very tempting, isn't it? To go up there, check it out. I suppose you have to be on the road or something, don't you?
Not next week, no.
We may have to talk about this.
We may have...
I got a brother that lives in Grand Forks, Joey.
Yeah.
I might have to get him some tickets, see what I can do, and we might have to go up there and just sit and watch the game.
That might have to happen.
That would be a fun game. University of North Dakota men's basketball, they're a decent team.
Yeah. Could be fun. Yeah.
We'll talk. We might have just made two mandates in one podcast.
I like it.
All right. Let's hit this sounder again.
Regional.
All right. NFL. Vikings got throttled. No one's surprised there. I don't even know why I put them on the list of things to talk about at this point.
I think you throw out the question I threw out earlier today.
Oh yeah, throw it out.
Would you rather have Christian Ponder as the starter for your NFL team or for your fantasy team? Can't bench him for your fantasy team. He's got to start either way.
I'd rather have him start for the football team, the NFL
football
team.
Okay, that was not the reaction that I got.
You
from anybody else.
If he keeps playing like he did today, the Vikings will continue to lose, and that draft pick will get better, and that way they can overreach for Johnny Manziel. Who, by the way, Troy Aikman came out today and said he will be a very good NFL quarterback. Wasn't today, but it was yesterday, I think he said that in an interview. I think Troy Aikman's been hit in the head a little too many times.
I was just about to make one of my many
concussion jokes.
My dad's a huge, huge, huge Troy Aikman fan, and there's very few things that I enjoy more than listening to Troy Aikman broadcast a game and wait until my dad calls me an a-hole after I make enough
Troy
Aikman
jokes.
Yeah, Troy Aikman not remembering any of his Super Bowls, or you know, he thinks he's broadcasting a Cardinals game, and Louis Cardinals game.
Yeah,
not even
Arizona,
Cardinals.
It's just St. Louis.
No, he's thinking he's doing a baseball game. Yeah.
He thinks Johnny Manziel will be a legit, and of course I shouldn't be a person trying to question his ability to say whether or not a quarterback's going to be a legit NFL quarterback. I mean, the guy is a three-time Super Bowl winner at quarterback, but I get that everybody loves Manziel because he's the Johnny football, but
my track record is very bad when it comes to projecting how well talent's going to play out just in general from college to pros. Not exactly my strong suit, and I don't see it with Manziel. From what I just don't see his style
working out.
The reason
I feel the way you do is because I think of Vince Young, and I think of how everybody was on the Vince Young train. I mean, he got drafted in the top 10. I want to say he was like a top 10,
top
5,
I think.
Yeah, quarterback, because he was all everything for Texas. Reason they beat USC was because of Vince Young, and he could run the ball, and he had a pretty decent arm. How did that work out? And I get there's a mental makeup, and I don't think Vince Young is the most stable of confident of characters. But again, his style of play does not allow for a lot of success in the NFL.
And it's not even so much the running. Their running quarterbacks can do just fine, but he looks panicky in the pocket. If his first read is...
Back up.
If his first read is not there, then I'll get to my second read, but I'm going to scramble first. I'm not going to take the time in the pocket to go to my next read. And then I'm going to make something happen, and I just don't think that's going to work.
And maybe someday he'll develop into that pocket quarterback, but here's the problem. He's going to get drafted by a team that doesn't have that someday. It's now.
Yep.
You can't have Johnny Manziel back up Christian Ponder. that doesn't work in Minnesota if he gets drafted, or by any team that's going to draft him that high. He needs to come in and start right away.
Yep.
And if that's where he's going to go with things and start moving around, he's going to get eaten alive. Because, again, everybody's faster in the NFL than they are in college football. But okay. I digress. We digress.
Yes.
So let's move on.
We'll come back to Manziel and National, though. I got a topic I'm going to throw
at
you.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So, okay. We'll talk NFC North. Bears win. Weird game because it was delayed by about an hour and a half. I was about to take a nap because I knew the Vikings game was later. And all of a sudden,
you're
I'm hearing.
So old.
I'm not old. Kind of old. The beard wouldn't say I'm old.
Yeah.
The tornado warnings are coming through in Chicago. It's scary stuff.
Yeah.
Bears able to come up with the win. Okay, be that as it may. How about the Lions? I want to talk about the call on fourth down when they have an opportunity to go up seven.
I was watching
and Schwartz
that live.
Goes for a fake field goal.
The thing is, it worked.
Did they got the first down, right?
And then the dude fumbled. Then your punter that was holding it fumbles. They get the first down. He fumbles on the way down, turns it over.
And see, they kept going back to it on the broadcast, and I kept thinking, okay, was it a fourth and goal, or was it like a fourth and one, and he got the first down, but fumbled?
I think he got the first down.
Okay, so that changes my call of it. The question would be, well, it's not even a question. I still agree with the call. Don't fumble. You got the first down. The drive continues.
Yeah.
I mean, I get percentages say take the points. The defense wasn't stopping Ben Roethlisberger anyways. Take the points, so on and so forth. But I say, hey, why not? I want to say at that point, in fact, at that point, the Steelers were just dominating Detroit.
Well, Detroit scored, they scored 27 points, all 27 of their points in the second quarter.
Yeah.
I still think you take the points there. And the whole statistical revolution that's coming down the pipeline in the NFL.
Yep.
I don't know, and I'll be curious to see what Bill Barnwell, kind of is the champion of it on Grantland. I'll be curious as to what he has to say about that call tomorrow, or today as you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on Monday.
Statistics would probably say take the points.
Yeah.
On the road.
In general, the statistics say go for it in those situations. For the most part, that's what
What was it? Was it like a fourth and whatever? Was it a fourth?
Like, yeah.
We have to look that up. Because you think about it, if you're going to line up for a field goal and then do a fake field goal on a fourth and one, why not just throw out a regular running back? But if it was like a fourth and three, fourth and four even, and they get the Steelers by surprise, all right, more power to you. I don't know. It's an interesting call. Statistic-wise, I almost assume if it's not like a fourth and one or a fourth and two even, you're down that close, take the points. When you're on the road.
He needed five and was fighting for it. I think he would have had it.
Okay,
this is my memory,
fourth
so
and five.
Take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
But I think he would have had it had he held on to the ball.
So fourth and five, you get the first down. Yeah, I'm okay with that, but statistics would say you take the points you're on the road.
With five, fourth and five, I think you take the points, period.
Right.
Fourth and two, fourth and one, then maybe you go for it.
But then you're doing a regular motion.
You're running a play.
You're running a play. You're not running a fake field goal.
Yeah.
Packers lost to the Giants. Huh. Packers,
I might be back
Packers,
on my Giants bandwagon.
I was looking at the ongoing wager. Your Packers, what was it, like over under 9.5 wins?
I think you even gave it to me at 8.5, actually. I'm pretty sure you gave it to me at 8.5.
I'd have to check again. I feel like I gave it to you at 9.5.
I think Vikings was 9.5.
Yes, and that
Packers was 8.5.
You just won that today, by the way, with that loss, because they just went 2-8.
But I might be back in on my Giants winning the NFC East.
They have a shot. How bad is the NFC East?
And Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh winning the AFC North.
I don't know if they have a shot anymore after Cincinnati won today.
I'm telling you, there's a chance.
I gotta look at those standings.
I'm telling you, there's a chance.
Okay, Lloyd Christmas. Relax here, buddy.
Standings right now, Pittsburgh's 2.5 back of Cincy, 2 games back in the loss column.
Okay, yeah. Looking at the NFC East, Philly is up by 0.5 game over Dallas because Dallas is one of the worst road teams defensively in the history of all everything. The Giants are 4-6 all of a sudden.
Game and a half back. They're only 1 back in the loss column.
Somehow.
Ha!
I don't even know how that works.
I'm back in. I jumped off the bandwagon pretty early. I might be back in on both.
What was it? The AFC North you're looking at? Cincy's up.
7-4 for Cincy, 4-6 for Cleveland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh, all at 4-6.
I don't think four straight
wins for Pittsburgh. They're rolling.
I just don't think that's going to.
Big Ben is back.
Is it four straight? Where did they start the season 0-6?
I believe they did. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they did.
I have to look that up.
I take that back. They beat the Vikings.
The Vikings beat them.
Didn't they?
Yeah, the Vikings beat them.
Okay.
They started 0-4 and then won the next two.
Okay.
In fact, they beat Baltimore. They got
either way
throttled by
4-6. Two games back in the loss column. Come on, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
They're still the Bengals.
yeah, that's true. So, what I take from this again: Packers, Lions, Bears. Right now,
oh my,
still the Lions division. They have the healthier of the quarterbacks. They have the dumbest of the coaches, but they have the healthiest of the quarterbacks.
Aaron Rodgers.
But he's got a broken collar. At what point can you be with Tolzien or whatever the heck his name is?
Tolzien,
and still be relevant in the division.
You know, but again, I don't know how many more weeks it is. If they end up one game back in after 12 games. Right now, it's after 10 games. If there's still one back in 12 games,
okay.
Man, I'm still in on the Packers.
I think that the Lions. I gotta check their schedule at Detroit.
If you were gonna make me choose a team right now, I would probably still pick Detroit.
Yeah, I would too.
But
you look at their schedule the rest of the way after today: Tampa Bay, both home games against Tampa Bay, Green Bay, on the road against Philly, home against Baltimore, New York, on the road against Minnesota. Gets much easier for them the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Much easier. So I have them. I do. They're done with Chicago. One more against Green Bay, and that's at home, and it might be sans Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Which you can work. The Philadelphia game scares me a little bit because their pass defense is so horrible, but everybody else, it's, you know, good luck. I think Detroit in this division at this point.
Okay.
Moving on. Maurer moved to first base. That became official this week. What are your thoughts on it?
My immediate thoughts were, I remember you yelling at me. You poo-pooed me when I told you that was going to happen.
I did.
And it happened.
It did happen.
Yes. It's the best thing for the investment. For a $200 million investment, it was the best thing for it. Once more no was gone, then to me, that was the writing on the wall that this was happening.
You have to think about it, too, that you're going to get a guy who plays healthier every day. He could play 162 games if you think about it because you can play him at DH too if you need him to get a break. You have that bat in there 30 more games a year because he's only catching 125, 130, 135 a year because he's going to get whatever other day off.
You're going to get... I would say 20 more games probably.
Right. So that's almost a month worth of games that you're going to get probably the best hitter in the American League, maybe the best... average hitter. I'm hitting for average. I'm not power hitter or driving in runs.
He's Miguel Cabrera, all of the above. I will take Miguel Cabrera, all of the above.
Okay. I sit corrected.
Yeah.
One of the best hitters.
I'd maybe give you the best left-handed hitter.
Yeah, okay.
I'd maybe give you that.
I should have preferenced it. Anyways, you have him in the lineup in a team that's going to get progressively younger. You have that safety blanket in the lineup much more often. Okay? To me, that's a big advantage. I don't want him to be the first baseman because I still have these ideas that he's going to be the greatest catcher of all time. But when you put that much money in for him and catchers everywhere, and he was unique because he was successful, but catchers everywhere are hitting 220.
Yeah.
All they do is play defense. Yep. That's all you need a catcher to do. All right, Minnesota, good move. And it was a strong move. That's the one thing, too, about the Twins. They're always kind of going, well, you know, we might go after this, and then we'll get Kevin Correa for a cheap bargain. They make this move, which it's in-house, I get it, but it's a strong move and the right move.
Yeah.
Now let's see how they do in the offseason. Rumors going around, they're going after some good right-handed pitching. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. Final regional question I have for you. Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Baby. How about those T-Wolves? Talk to me.
I mean, early season, yeah. I mean, they're going to be a good team because you're an early season team that has something to prove. And when you're a team with some talent that has something to prove, then generally you're going to come out. You know, Indiana has something to prove, and they've come out busting down the doors. Minnesota's had something to prove, and Kevin Love specifically has something to prove, and I think that's what we're seeing. I still think they end up you know, around the 6, 7, 8 seed by when the end of the season comes around.
Okay.
But they've been fun to watch. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's what we said. That's what we keep saying is they're going to be a fun team to watch. And if I can get once a week, if I can get Minnesota versus Golden State, I will take that all day.
What about Minnesota versus L.A.? That game was close out in L.A.
Yeah.
And they play in two games. And Minnesota has the Wizards coming up, which Washington this year, not as good as people thought they were going to be. They thought they would be a little bit better. They're 2-7 right now.
Yep.
So much for your tanking idea. You've got Phoenix. Well, they've kind of fallen off the map a little bit. 5-4, it's a decent.
But still, a winning record. Phoenix, we never thought we'd say that, period.
Philadelphia's 5-6. San Antonio and Indiana right there at 9-1. Early season, 10 games in, granted. Minnesota, though, looks like they're the third best scoring team in all of the NBA.
So that would be behind, got to be behind Golden State.
Nope.
No. Okay. Behind the Clippers?
Yes.
And?
You'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. I'm not very bright all the time. I mean, I want to say Miami, but.
Nope. It's Western Conference teams.
Western Conference? Oklahoma City?
Nope.
Not even Oklahoma City?
No. Houston.
Really?
Yeah, Houston is averaging 108.
I thought about them and dismissed that.
Yeah, they're averaging 108.8 points per game. Clippers are at 110. The Timberwolves are at 108.5.
Okay.
They have the best defense of those two teams, too. Houston's given up like 106 points per game, which actually is one of the worst in the NBA as well.
Again, and I go to the Grantland guys. Zach Lowe has put some words down about how brutally awful the perimeter defense. Like James Harden play defense.
I go to Deadspin for my things.
Okay.
James Harden, not interested in playing defense as a running threat.
He's Kobe Bryant last year.
Oh yeah, just doesn't care.
Which by the way, my boy Kobe back at practice.
Oh boy. Where are the Lakers? 4-7.
Yeah.
They're coming.
Not good. But but that's
Kobe's
all right.
Kobe's not gonna save that team, buddy.
No, but I just, the NBA is better with Kobe in it.
Oh.
I tried watching a chunk of a Lakers game, and.
Yeah, who cares if Kobe's not in it?
I just couldn't do it.
Only watch Gasol. Pa.
Yeah. I want my Kobe. I miss my Kobes.
Speaking of the NBA, let's move on to.
National.
And I came up with a new topic for the NBA, and you and I were kind of going at it and you're not.
Okay, I'll let you finish before I start yelling at you.
I wanted to put the NBA top three duos in the 2013-14 season to this point so far, and it can be an ongoing thing, and we update them as everything goes on. Brad, when he sees this, I'm thinking I'm cool. Like, oh, this is a great topic. We'll get into it. It'll be awesome. Brad's like, no, it's stupid. It's dumb.
I didn't say the topic is stupid. I said your list is stupid.
My list is stupid.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
do you have a list?
Here's the thing. Yes, I have a list.
Okay.
Here's the thing that just bugs me.
What?
About you sometimes.
What?
Is that we're going to have a little therapy session on the air, folks. So this is going to be good stuff. Is that you create these topics just, and you put these little slants on it just so that you can say something stupid to get
what
a rise out of me. Okay, like your ongoing NFL head coaching hot seat list,
right?
And immediately after a game or two, you put Tom Coughlin.
They
up
started
there.
Out 0-6.
Okay, after six games, I put him on there. You had him at 0-2. You put Tom Coughlin on there.
I think it was more like
0-3.
Stupid. But still,
the top three duos in the. Go ahead and go run through your list.
Okay. Number one right now, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin.
I have no issue with that.
Okay. All right. Good. Number two, Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love.
I have an issue with that.
What's your issue?
Ricky Rubio can't shoot.
Okay. I didn't make any like preference for this, but I'm talking about a guy who can help out his team. He's a good defensive player, and he creates offensively.
He's not. He's a gambling defensive player. He makes steals, and that's about it. He's not a good on-ball defender.
Okay.
Okay.
Give you that.
Thank you.
Still probably one of the better defenders they have on the team, which is a bad defensive team.
Okay.
But even so, offensively, he creates for the players.
He can't
dishes
shoot.
Out. So, that's not a criterion here. In this list, that doesn't matter. He's like top five in assist in the NBA.
Okay.
Kevin Love, one of the best players in the NBA right now. And I'm talking right now.
That's just it. So 3 weeks into the season, which doesn't matter. If I'm taking the top three duos, I want LeBron James, and I don't really care who else.
But then it's just LeBron James. Nobody else adds anything to the table.
So give me LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Fine. I'll take that.
Dwayne Wade is past his prime.
Chris Bosh, whatever. Give me LeBron James and any one of those two, and I will put that number one on the list.
But that's just the one player you base off. They have to be good together.
I'm sorry. Two titles and three trips to the finals? That doesn't work well together?
Yeah, but you don't think of LeBron James and Chris Bosh. They don't play well together. Their styles don't help each other out.
Yeah, they sure don't. Those titles really really show that they just doesn't mesh. You've got Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Okay. I know Westbrook's been hurt, but I don't care. I'm talking this year.
I'm not talking overall. And Westbrook and Durant came across. I thought about it. Yeah.
Okay. I don't care. Your number three?
Damian Lillard. I had it right the first time.
You did.
And LaMarcus Aldridge.
Who in their right minds on any list is saying, you know what? Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, or Damian Lillard, LaMarcus
Aldridge? Right now, though, at this point in the season, right now.
Yes. I don't care what point in the season it is. Give me Westbrook and Durant.
The point of the thing is right now, not
But the
overall.
Point is stupid. That's it. That's what I'm saying.
It's for the podcast, though. It's for the sake of argument. It's not stupid because if you were to ask me who are the top three duos in the NBA overall, doesn't matter at what point, I would say Tony Parker, Tim Duncan.
Okay.
Give me LeBron and everybody else, and then give me Durant and Westbrook.
Okay.
But right now, so far this year.
There's even an argument there, though, because I would take even over Parker and Duncan, honestly, I think right now I would take CP3 and Blake Griffin, which is not real popular, but I think I would still do that. But yeah, I don't know.
All right.
When I see a NBA top three duos of whatever and Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge, I immediately think the topic is stupid.
8-2 so far this year is Portland.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Great.
We'll continue this because I want you to get into it.
Okay.
I do. I want you to embrace it. I understand where your anger's coming from.
Yep.
I do. Too much sun. I get it. But you just have to embrace it and let it marinate. You'll get into it. I promise. It's a long season. You'll get into it.
Okay.
Now let's go to the one you do enjoy. NFL head coach hot seat.
I do enjoy this one.
Yes. Okay. Greg Schiano still on our top. Even though they won today.
Yeah.
Greg Schiano's still top.
I think he has to be. Yeah.
Such a mess. They've started out so terrible this year.
They blew Atlanta's doors off. That 41-28 was the final score. The game was not that close.
Do you now have Mike Smith in your top three from Atlanta? Because I don't still. Because I still have Joe Philbin from the Dolphins. And by the way, the Dolphins started out pretty good this year. Something like 4-0.
And they won today, too.
Something like 4-0. They're 5-5.
Yeah.
But even so, with all the mess that's going on in the locker rooms between Richie Incognito and John Martin.
Houston lost at home to the Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
And Texans fans nearly lost it when they saw Matt Schaub come back onto the field.
Well, Casey Keenum got benched.
It's not Casey. It's Case Keenum.
Case Keenum.
Casey
is probably Casey. Whatever. They named their kids.
It's not Casey Kasem. It is not Casey Kasem. Case Keenum.
Yeah. No, you know, I said Keenum.
I know you did.
I know.
Now I'm giving you grief about your terrible pronunciations. Aww. But at least it matches your terrible beard.
Oh.
Kubiak's number two for me. Schiano's still the pole position there, but Kubiak's number two.
And I have Kubiak as three.
Yeah.
And I have Philbin as two.
Yeah. Man, Mike Smith and Mike Shanahan are both trying really hard to find their way onto that list, though.
Yeah. I don't know so much about Shanahan. I mean, I get that you're 3-7, but you're coming back with a not fully healthy RG3. So I think you get a pass there. Not a big one, but you get
If you're going to give a pass there, then, you know, no Julio Jones, limited Roddy White for Atlanta.
Still have your quarterback, though. Fully healthy.
But you don't have, you know, when you lose the guys that he throws to, and Steven Jackson, you go get him that running back to replace Michael Turner, who's been terrible, and Steven Jackson's hurt the entire time, so you're back giving it to Jacquizz Rodgers again. I think there's a little bit of a pass there as well.
You got to pick though, one of the two.
Yeah, give me Mike Shanahan.
Okay. I like that.
Give me Shanahan.
Okay. Smith is
actually, you know what? I take that back.
You want
what am I doing? No, I want Leslie Frazier. Why did I? I don't know why I blanked on him. I want Leslie Frazier.
Here's what I'll say. I think that from all, you know, we on the Mike McFeely show on KFGO, Jim Suan, who's very in touch with what's going on,
yep,
Minnesota team, he said players haven't quit. You know, they like Frazier. They're still trying hard. It's just a bad football team. To me, that indicates that there isn't a mutiny. Like with Schiano, nobody likes him in the team, and it's just bad. And with Philbin, that's a bad situation. You need to get rid of that stuff. I think at the end of the season, you need to look at Frazier and you need to reevaluate the team and go, okay, what happened here?
Yeah.
Was it scheme or was it just that we haven't put in the right product? What's going on?
I do want to say one thing real quick, and we can't dive into the whole Miami thing again, but we talked a little bit last week about how when I said, you know, there's going to be more stories like this that come out.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Dan Patrick show last week and had a story about how there was an NFL rookie, a prominent NFL rookie, where his first year when people would walk by, every time they'd walk by, they would just open hand slap him right in the head. And that was just, I mean, just not,
okay,
not in a, hey, ha, ha, ha. I mean, they just walk by and just wail on him. I mean, stuff like this is going to keep coming out.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
And you're going to see stuff like the Timberwolves rookies.
The backpack, not being able to do the backpacks.
They're not being able to do the backpacks because they crossed the line.
The next time you see
a
baseball team where their rookies are in the back of the bus all dressed as women, all of a sudden that's not going to be quite as funny as it used to be.
I think the Twins do something like that. I don't know
if
it's women, but it might be like characters.
I've seen a few pictures like that where all of a sudden, again, that's just not going to be quite as funny as it was a couple years ago.
Right, exactly, because you're afraid of this. There's going to be, yeah. I think you're right. I think there's going to be these.
Yeah, so that's why it almost softens the blow a little bit on Philbin. It's like, oh, this stuff goes on a lot of places. And that, you know, and that softens it a little bit.
Because it's not just him.
Yeah.
It's on everybody's watch. I understand that.
I think it starts to spread a little bit. So I got Schiano, Kubiak, Frazier.
Okay, and I still think Philbin, just because.
That's fair. That's completely fair.
Just because if you're a Dolphin, if you're the general manager, owner, whatever, you got to go, okay, we got to clean out everything here. We just need to restart and get some fresh blood and go from there. And Kubiak, it's just the team is starting to fall apart now too because you saw Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson get after each other on the sidelines. Schaub left the game early. I mean, he walked off the field before the clock hit 000, didn't want to talk to anybody. A lot of frustrations. And I think Smith, what cures everything is winning. And if Philbin gets to, say, 8, maybe 9 wins, which I don't know if that's even possible. I'm just saying, spitballing here. Smith moves up because you're talking about the two teams that even you and I had beginning of the season, Houston Texans, Atlanta Falcons. We had them as Super Bowl favorites.
I didn't have them as a favorite. I had them going. I had the Falcons going.
Super Bowl participants. Anyways, yeah, we
Falcons.
Didn't have them winning.
Yeah.
But even so, that's how good these teams were supposed to be coming into the season.
Yep.
And now
That's fair.
Now it's bad. You can't take those expectations and go, okay, were the expectations for the Redskins as high as they were for the Texans and Falcons? No, they weren't.
Is it too late for the Vikings to trade for Matt Schaub?
Why would you want him?
It was a joke. Because they're stockpiling terrible quarterbacks.
I got Schaub? Lost there.
Yeah, why not Matt Schaub? It can't be too late, right? Get him in. Bring him in. Thank you. Thank you, Burt Reynolds.
There you go. Again, the whole expectation thing as well. And Tom Coughlin has moved off because 4 straight wins.
Yep.
Simple as that. Final question I have for the podcast.
And I had one for you that we got to get back to.
Yes,
Manziel.
We do. That's fine. We're well into overtime anyways. Doesn't matter. We like to play extra time.
We do.
Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, and Baylor, in that order, are 1-4 in the BCS that came out this evening, Sunday evening, yesterday if you're listening tomorrow. That was interesting.
I think I just went cross-eyed here.
What team will lose a game first?
I mean,
Baylor's got Oklahoma State next week.
Yeah, and that's at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
I mean, the choices really are honestly maybe either them or maybe even Alabama because you got the Iron Bowl coming up.
Yes. And an SEC championship game, which I'm not sure who that's going to be against, nor do I think it's going to matter.
Yeah. I mean, Florida State's got a bye, and then they're at Florida, who's got a losing record. Ohio State's got a bye, and then they're at 7-3 Michigan.
Which you can never, you throw out the records, it's a rivalry game.
Thanks.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say Baylor goes down this weekend.
You think they go down this weekend?
I think Baylor's going down.
And I think I'm almost positive College Game Day will be there. Which,
yeah, they gotta
to Gopher fans, there was never a shot in the world that they were going to come to some Gopher Wisconsin game in Minnesota, which is this weekend.
Yeah, no.
That wasn't going to happen. They would have gone to Texas A&M LSU before they went there. Just saying. Yeah. Sorry to burst your bubble, but that's reality.
Yeah.
So,
give me Baylor.
You want Baylor. Honestly?
You really want to say Bama.
No, I want to say Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
But, again, Michigan is really bad, and I get you throw out the record. They're just really bad.
Yeah.
They're just...
They're 7-3. And that sprint field goal that they pulled off this weekend was sweet.
Even so, Ohio State's not going to lose to Indiana.
No.
Next week they'd have Ohio State, or do they have the bye? Week 14. Doesn't matter. They have Michigan after that. Ohio State, Michigan is soon. And then you've got the Big Ten championship game against Michigan State, which is where I see. Because I don't think Baylor loses this weekend. I don't.
Okay.
I think that Oklahoma State, Baylor, is going to be a shootout. But I don't think they lose this weekend. So I'm going to take Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan State. Because I think that team defensively can play with Ohio State.
Okay.
I do. And that's going to be a pretty big challenge for Ohio State. But this Miami, or pardon me, Florida State, how funny would it be? Let's just think about this for a second. How funny would it be if Duke, the Blue Devils football team, gets to the ACC championship game, which is highly possible.
Yeah.
And beats Florida State.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
How awesome would that upset be? Because Florida State looks like the best team in the country. Even with the number two ranking, they are just crushing teams. Just crushing them. It's not even close. And they have an opportunity, which I hope happens. Duke leads the Coastal ACC Conference with a 4-2 conference record. They're 8-2 overall. Florida State, by virtue of beating Clemson, is going to win the Atlantic. Duke just needs to win out, and they're in the ACC championship game.
That'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So, no, I have Ohio State. You have Baylor. How about that Auburn game, too? That last-second catch?
That was... Oh. I mean, I had shades of the previous week, the Baltimore-Cincinnati game.
And then there was the Nebraska-Northwestern game as well.
Yeah.
Where Nebraska came up with the last-second touchdown to win it. That was...
That's...
Even so, but the guys...
This is why sport... And I'm going to steal a line from Scott Van Pelt here. This is why sports is the best reality show out there.
The guy just chucks it like 100 yards, has no chance of that thing being caught, and two guys for Georgia go up to get it. And the guy, whoever's running and catches it, I don't remember, but he catches it, and it just kind of falls in his hand. He didn't even really expect it. He just keeps running, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, my goodness. The energy of that place would have went from downtrodden to, oh, my goodness, what just happened. Would have been a lot of fun. So, a lot of college football left to play.
Speaking of college football, my last topic last
topic for the podcast, 019.
Heisman.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't talked about that in a while.
We have not talked about that in a while.
Because this is about the time of year when the guy who starts to get the buzz right now...
Is the guy who ends up winning.
That's the guy who ends up winning it. I know who I think that guy is. Who do you think that guy is?
I think it's Jameis Winston.
Do you?
I do. At this point, even though he's probably been the best one for a while, Jameis Winston. Because the only way this happens, Baylor has to win, which I do believe Baylor has to win this weekend, and Bryce Petty has to have a monster game. Not even a monster. I won't say monster. Yeah. It has to have a good game, because then you're looking at Bryce Petty, and this team is now undefeated with their record, and they just beat a really good Oklahoma State team, and here we go, 10-0. Here we go. Then you start to hear this guy who's a little bit further behind in the discussion, but even so, Jameis Winston has had one heck of a year. Who do you think it's going to be?
The buzz that's all of a sudden starting to creep up now is A.J. McCarron.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, and it's with the legal troubles that have all of a sudden not happened, but that all of a sudden people found out about.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get some self-righteous sports writers that are going to say, that took care of my vote. I'm not voting for that kid now.
And if they do that, I'll go to their house and slap them in the face, because the whole thing... It's allegations, first off, and second off...
You know nothing.
You know nothing. And it sounds like the person giving the description's a little bit confused, because there's two different descriptions out there from what I've heard.
See, and I haven't heard anything about the story other than that he's involved in a sexual assault investigation. That is literally the full, and we don't need to go into the details of
it. Right, it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying that there's going to be some people that hear that, vote gone. And A.J. McCarron comes riding in on the white horse, couple of national titles, looking at a third, beats Auburn, has a good game in the prime time there.
Yeah, okay.
And I...
Okay, so does he win because of stats, which was what kind of Manziel did last year, stats and just overall hype, or does he win because...
Lifetime Achievement Award
like Eric Crouch.
I think there's going to be a pretty good push for that.
Let's bring this back full circle. Walter Payton Award, which is the FCS equivalent of the Heisman.
Does Brock Jensen get
that hype? Because
interesting,
he's having better games now offensively. He's tied or one win away from the all-time
and
winning record in FCS
he's
history.
Tied. And he's got that signature moment.
He's got the signature moments. Moments. We'll say moment. I know with Kansas State is what you're thinking, but moments. Winning drive against Georgia Southern last year. Winning drive against Northern Iowa this year. Bring that full circle, Brock Jensen. I mean,
I could see career achievement in both spots there.
Yep.
Yeah, I absolutely could see that.
It has to be the fact that you just can't. There has to be a guy that wins it that you just can't ignore stat wise, and there are in both cases. Jameis Winston stat wise having an unbelievable year. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
Thank goodness,
Jimmy G from Eastern Illinois. We'll call him that.
Okay,
having a heck of a year. He could win it. The Walter Payton for FCS. But again, it'll be interesting to see. I think if they have, I know they have the banquet before the FCS championship game, and they'll have the Heisman invitees. Both McCarron and Jensen, I think, are going to be present.
Yes, and I think for how many people get invited to the Heisman, I think is another.
It depends.
I know we're diving because
it depends.
I think A.J. McCarron does.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston does.
Yep. Johnny Manziel.
I think Johnny Manziel does.
And depending on what goes on with Baylor, I think Bryce Petty gets there too.
I think he could.
And what about Mariota?
That was the other name. Now that Stanford's lost again and they could be back up at the top of the Pac-12, then that's a
possible. Yeah, they're the number five team in the BCS.
Yep.
It's possible. And a quick one on ESPN, looking at the expert poll, the five guys that we just mentioned are all way up there. I mean, the next guy is Kadeem Carey from Arizona, junior running back. Yeah. Everybody else is way down on the list. But again, those teams there, because they're good, I do think Jameis Winston, you think McCarron, I say tomato, you say tomato. It's going to be fun to see what happens. And we'll keep our eye on the Walter Payton thing too, because I think that could be same instance there. So great podcast, man.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of fun, well into overtime, but that's okay. Got a lot of NDSU discussion in there. Sounds like we might be hitting up a couple basketball games, see how that goes this week. That should be fun. Make sure to shoot us a line, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. We'll answer those emails. You can comment on our page on kfgo.com. We'll get to those comments. We usually have a Marcus from Mayville in there, but you could be the next guy mentioned on the Pinto and White Shadow show. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at PintoKFGO. Brad Jones is
at the Bison Guy.
So for the 019 podcast on kfgo.com and 743thefan.com, I'm Daniel Gunnarsson for Brad Jones. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Hey, like me.